We've returned to News Radio KMAN's In Focus. I'm Dave Lewis in for Brandon Peoples today. Brandon is in quarantine, and we talk about the COVID-19 aspect, and Brandon is, you know, obviously been affected. We've been fortunate that hasn't, we don't seem to be a hotspot here at the radio station. We've been taking a lot of precautions in, you know, cleaning studios because we have a lot of shared spaces here. And I'm sure that's true, shared spaces, especially, Director Butler, with the Riley County Jail. Have you had any issues, extreme issues with COVID in the jail system?
No, in fact, that's probably one of the areas of the building that we spend the most time disinfecting and cleaning and triaging prisoners as they come and go, or inmates as they come and go. We've been fortunate. We have not had any positive outcomes in terms of infections in the jail or with the jail staff. But we spend a lot of time trying to make sure that doesn't happen. So we'll continue our diligent efforts to try to keep the jail safe for the inmates as well as the staff.
You know, we talked a lot about safety. How are you in terms of personal protective equipment there at Riley County Police Department?
We have what we need just for daily activities, and if we have an extreme situation where we know we have to be in close proximity with somebody who's tested positive, we have additional protective equipment that officers can put on and use to try to prevent an infection in an arrest situation or maybe a medical situation. It just depends on the nature of it. If there's time to don all of that equipment, than they do. If it's an emergency situation, then they'll use their masks and gloves and disinfect afterwards, and also probably with rapid testing, they'll test the officers to make sure they haven't become infected. So it's an effort. It's a drain. It's stressful for all involved to try to keep our employees safe, because the last thing we want is for one to get infected and then we have 5 or 10 people that can't come to work. That would create a big problem for us logistically.
Well, you know, and like we talked about, you know, it's a challenge to take on the necessary precautions. And boy, you just keep your fingers crossed that what you're doing is going to be enough. And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. You just never know what the outside factors are.
Yeah, you know, the biggest concern that I hear in the media is when someone says, I have no idea how I was infected. You know, and these are people who are taking precautions, doing what they're supposed to do. The next thing you know, they're positive, and they have no clue how it happened. That's the kind of stuff that concerns me.
Yeah, certainly. Well, let's talk a little bit about safety from another perspective, because we're getting into the holidays, and obviously the holidays are taking a different slant, and the atmosphere around Manhattan, Kansas, is going to be quite a bit different, with students leaving earlier and actually before. I think next week's their last week in classes, and it's going to be a different atmosphere. But let's talk about some of the safety aspects with the holidays, with travel. You know, there's deer, all kinds of things that police take into consideration, and you know, you just want to keep everybody safe. So give us some thoughts on how to stay safe during the holidays outside of COVID-19.
You know. I was going to say, I wish it were as simple to deliver this message as it has been in the past, but if you don't want me to talk about COVID, I'll be happy not to. But it's the same messaging that we always provide in terms of driving safely, especially not drinking and driving, wearing your seatbelts, having your children in proper safety seat in their cars. Also, when you're shopping, this is the time of year when people go shopping and they sometimes leave valuables in plain sight in their cars. And we strongly encourage them to put those in the trunk or cover them up in some way so they're not readily visible by somebody going by. And finally, when it comes to that issue about hiding stuff in your car, please lock your car doors. At least half, and that's being conservative, of all of our thefts from vehicles occur when the vehicle is unlocked. And we have people leave computers in their cars when they're unlocked, sometimes firearms in their cars when they're unlocked. I consider that a safety issue when a firearm that you own is now in the hands of somebody who stole it from you. in terms of online scams. They seem to ramp up during the holiday season. And so we urge people to be leery of emails and phone calls, especially from sources that are unfamiliar with, asking for personal information. Almost every legitimate organization does not contact you that way. So don't give it out unless you've contacted them to conduct business, either by email or by telephone. And if you are diligent, I've actually had legitimate businesses contact me and want to know why I didn't follow up on something. I just didn't recognize the messaging from them and ignored it because I was concerned about having my identity stolen. And the last thing I'll say about these scams, whether it's telephone or online, is they often occur on Fridays or in conjunction with a long weekend because banks are closed. And citizens, once they realized they've been scammed, they often delay reporting it either to us or their bank because the bank is closed. They think there's nothing they can do. I keep talking about this, and I'll say it again. All financial transactions that are considered ACH-type transactions, they all have to go through the Federal Reserve. And if our officers find out within a few hours that you've had a scam perpetrated on a citizen, there's a chance by working with our federal partners that we can stop that transfer from being completed and money leaving their account. And a lot of people don't know that. So that's why the criminals ramp it up on Friday afternoons and on long weekends, because they know people assume with the banks closed, they can't do anything about it, that it's too late. It's not always too late.
I know that we've been talking with some bankers here in the community about some of the scams that are going on. And you know, it comes down to some simple things. Don't give out your Social Security number. Don't give out credit card numbers. And I guess sometimes even your date of birth.
Yeah, I'm leery about those things as well. I would never mention who, but I've had identity theft protection I've paid for years. It's not foolproof, but I've entered all of my financial accounts into this service that I use. And anytime a transaction occurs or whenever someone makes a credit inquiry, I get an alert on it. And I can freeze my accounts with the touch of a button. I don't have to call anybody. It's affordable, but it just depends on your personal situation. But I'm that concerned about it that I've taken that step.
Well, and one of the things that we can all do that would be beneficial is to be proactive so you don't have to be reactive.
Yeah, and that's really the tough part, because we spend, you know, so much time conducting business now remotely, especially with COVID. We do things online. We do it by telephone. We're not supposed to get robocalls anymore because of federal law, but I still get those all the time, not only on my work phone, but my personal phone. So these things are not foolproof. And, you know, I block the numbers and then they use a different number the next time from the same whoever it is trying to get stuff out of me.
We're going to take our final break on the show, and when we return, we're going to be talking a little bit about the law board meeting that's coming up on Monday, and then may dabble a little bit about some of the political world that law enforcement has become, I guess you could almost say, targeted by some. It's K-Man's In Focus. I'm Dave Lewis, back with Director Butler in just a couple of minutes.